Now, from the left coast to the D.C. Beltway, covering the topics you love to hate and hate to miss, it's the Silk or Joe Show.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the Silk or Joe Show. Co-host Joe with you all here this weekend, fighting my inbox because I don't know why Microsoft thought that this was such a great idea, but for at least for my version of Microsoft Outlook, if you try and search for an email, there's this little search bar that you click in order to get the search started. Well, you gotta click the darn thing twice. It used to be you just click it once. In fact, with every other search bar, you know, Google search, searching your computer, whatever, you just click it once and you type what you want and it starts trying to find it. Not with Microsoft Outlook, though, at least this version of it, from Microsoft Office, I believe. This version of Outlook, no, you have to click that search bar twice, and it is, that's the only place you have to do that. So here I am, constantly starting to type what I want to search for, and then when I press enter, suddenly my email inbox gets all screwed up, or if I hit the backspace key, I end up sending an email to a random folder because it turns out that I'm not actually searching for anything yet because I didn't click twice, I only clicked once. And it's so misleading too, because when you first click it, and actually sometimes it does work where you only have to click it once and then you can do whatever you want in there. So it's very, it's inconsistent as well. That sucks. But anyway, rather frustrating thing. So whatever I was going to look for, I'm not going to be able to find it in time for the segment. That's okay. I do have one thing memorized anyway, and that is the intro here where we say we are a Main Street Radio Network production. We want to thank the Main Street Radio Network for allowing this program to continue. They support the First Amendment. They support our right to say what we'd like to say, within certain guidelines, of course, legal guidelines, mind you. So we appreciate that. And we also want to thank the Salem Radio Network for distributing this show. Main Street Radio Network can be found at mainstreetradionetwork.com. You can find them on social media, too. Facebook and Wimkin at Main Street Radio Network, X at Main Street Radio, and we have our own page, gettergettr.com at Silker Joe Show. But you know what? While you're at it, don't forget to check out the Alan Nathan Show. That's up there on mainstreetradionetwork.com. That's also on X at Alan Nathan. And he has his own website, alannathan.com. Sometimes I guest host for him. And some of the revenue that show brings in helps keep us afloat, too. So, you know, it's a little bit parasitical of us. So I also, like I said, guest host for him. In fact, I guest hosted yesterday. So it's an extra reason to check out his show, aside from just obliquely supporting us. And actually, Spotify is probably the best way, or Amazon, because there's a link to a podcast page on their website. But yeah, that's a little bit janky. I think the only reason they have it up there is because it looks nice. Anyway, so getting into the topics for today. Speaking of free speech, we've had a few questions about free speech raised this week. First, with that attorney general of ours, Pam Bondi, she's talking about pursuing hate speech laws. She backed down because there was a huge backlash from the right. Rightfully so, because the right has been against hate speech laws, and now we have the attorney general talking about implementing hate speech laws. Even if it wasn't support of the right, we still didn't want that, because everyone should be free to speak their mind, A, and also B, those laws could be used against us at some point. In fact, that radical leftist Cenk Uygur from the Young Turks, he isn't so much of a leftist anymore, I guess, compared to how radical the left has really gotten, but he did acknowledge on X in a post how, you know, the right, the difference between the right and the left when it comes to hate speech laws. He says people in general, when they come to power, they want to implement hate speech laws. But here you have the right going on and attacking their attorney general for trying to implement hate speech laws when they are the ones in power. So he was nice enough to point that out and appreciate that. But then that also brings up this whole thing. Now we're being accused of being anti-free speech when, as far as all this stuff goes, with people who are celebrating a political assassination losing their jobs and whatnot. Oh, that's you're against free speech if you support that. Well, no, that's not exactly it. Yeah, you perfectly, we actually want you to say these things so that we know to fire you. Because seriously, there's a political assassination of a guy whose main claim to fame is he will have a discussion with you. and he invites you to debate. He invites you to get your point heard, and he will post videos of you making your point on his YouTube page and whatnot, even though he will logically argue against you. And he might win. You might not change his mind. He might not change your mind. He still opens the floor for debate. That's hardly anything a fascist would do, because they tend to do, well, what liberals do, and that is seek to censor their opponents by passing laws and regulations and secretly having the government work around the First Amendment by going to social media companies and telling them to suppress people, otherwise they might be investigated for various things. I mean, you had Matt Zuckerberg, the owner, the creator of Facebook, which is now Meta. I guess they still have Facebook. Anyway, he went before Congress under the Biden administration and testified, yes, I did all of this censorship on this social media platform because the government was breathing down my neck, telling me to. The Democrat government were, which is not something that's going on with Republican government. The closest we got is this Jimmy Kimmel thing, where he goes on the air and he knowingly tells a bunch of falsehoods about Charlie Kirk, and he, you know, mocks people for mourning Charlie Kirk's assassination, and he says it's clearly a right-wing hit job, even though there's multiple sources of evidence to the contrary. And this is coming from a guy who pretty low rated on ABC News. You know, you talk about, we lost Stephen Colbert earlier this year from CBS, right? Because he was losing the company money. His ratings were in the trash, and they just took one step too far and also insulted the company that was running his show and paying him $20 million to lose the company $50 million. So with all that, He lost his job. Jimmy Kimmel, not sure how much money he's losing ABC, but he is a ratings loser. So, it seems more like ABC News just looking for a reason to fire the dude, honestly. But Trump's FCC, one of Trump's FCC folks was talking about, hey, under certain FCC licensing agreements that ABC has, because of what Kimmel said, mocking these mourners, telling bold-faced lies, we can actually pull their license or look at it unless they discipline him. But then ABC News, they fired him instead. And part of the reason they fired him probably is because he refused to apologize for what he said, which may have been enough to satisfy the FCC rules or whatever. Just have him go on the air and say, I apologize for lying about the suspect. I apologize for saying that Charlie Kirk's assassin was a right-wing extremist and mocking all the people mourning Charlie Kirk's passing because one of their own killed him, which is a total lie that I made up and told. Instead of doing that, he refused, and now he loses his job. And this is the same guy who mocked Fox News for firing Tucker Carlson. That is, said that was, quote, delightful. So now here he is losing his job for what he thought Tucker Carlson was doing, spreading misinformation. So it's rather fitting that he would meet this end. And again, this is not exactly a hate speech law, rather it's just the rules of ABC operating and how they should be operating and whatever. Now, what Democrats want to do is a little bit different as far as censorship goes. If we could have clip number 24, I don't know if you got time to put that in. I sent it before the show, but I don't know if I got time to get in.
Democrats win elections, and then Republicans say they are being silenced. But while some cry cancel culture, let me suggest a different way to think about this. A harm reduction model. Most people want clean air and blue skies and accurate news and rational views. And then in that healthy environment that looks beautiful, then we can have great fights about taxes and regulation and healthcare and all the rest. The vast majority of people can agree that disinformation about, let's say, the pandemic is unhealthy. It's harmful. So how can that harm be reduced? Well, big tech platforms say they are removing lies about vaccines and stamping out Stop the Steal BS and QAnon cult content. Now, do these private companies have too much power? Sure. And many people would say yes, of course they do. But reducing a liar's reach is not the same as censoring freedom of speech. Freedom of speech is different than freedom of reach. And algorithmic reach is part of the problem.
So that was CNN, Brian Stelter, host of their show Reliable Sources. He has a show with them now, I think. But he got fired for a little while. But that was on January 31st, 2021. And they seem perfectly happy with censoring people now, except it's them who's being censored, again, by the FCC guide, by ABC News, the ABC overall, the parent company there. because Jimmy Kimmel just went on the air, lied, mocked people, mourning an assassination victim. Rather, very much not a good thing to do, especially if your show is not supposed to have that kind of image about it, right? Because this is a late night comedy show. You got to remember the platform, too. It's a late night comedy show. You're supposed to be cheering up the audience. You're not supposed to go up there, mock people for mourning an assassination victim, and then lie about who did it. That's kind of contrary to what's going on there. And telling you're delivering such blatant misinformation. I mean, we have, what, the assassin's own words that he's a leftist, family members saying he's a leftist, what law enforcement found saying he's a leftist. That's a bit more concrete than anything Brian Stelter was talking about, well, except QAnon, maybe. So it's really slightly different here with consequence versus laws, and also Kimmel kind of violated laws we already had in place. But it is a definite free speech question, and we're free to argue it, unlike under Democrats, where we just be accused of spreading disinformation and silenced. More out Silker Josh after this.
Summer's heat waves brought higher UV indexes across the country, and that's cause for concern. Dr. Raza Bukhari, CEO of Medicus Pharma, explains.
90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are related to exposure to ultraviolet radiation from the sun.
Even with regular use of sunscreen, high UV rays can cause significant damage. That's why getting a professional skin check could save your life. And new treatments on the horizon are poised to revolutionize the way skin cancer is treated.
We are currently in phase 2 trials of a non-invasive skin cancer treatment called SkinJet. This small microneedle transdermal patch provides a relatively painless, cost-effective treatment for basal cell skin cancer. So far, in our interim analysis, more than 60% of patients achieved complete clinical clearance.
For more, visit medicuspharma.com.
Each day, more than 1,000 children across the world are diagnosed with cancer. And despite it being the leading cause of death by disease among children in the United States, many of today's standard treatments were approved more than 30 years ago. That's exactly why Northwestern Mutual has made it our mission to bring attention to this cause. We declare September 4th as Golden Moments Day, a day of national recognition across the United States to honor stories of resilience, community impact, and breakthroughs in research and treatments that will light the way to a brighter future. To reinforce our commitment, for each new financial plan delivered to prospective clients in September, the Northwestern Mutual Foundation will donate $100 to Alex's Lemonade Stand Foundation, up to $2 million. That would fund 40,000 hours of research. But there is still work to be done. Help us make a lasting impact this September. I invite you to join us in our mission to find better treatments and cures for childhood cancer. Visit NorthwesternMutual.com to find an advisor near you.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at pva.org.
Welcome back to the Silker Joe Show, everybody. So earlier this week, we had Constitution Day. I guess that kind of explains why I was going into free speech in the last segment so hard. I think during the planning phase, I wanted to mention that and then just kind of forgot it when I got into the topic and also got distracted by my emails. In fact, that might have been what I was trying to look up when I was screwing up with my email account. But anyway, we are joined now by Ryan Mulvey to further discuss this. He is a policy counsel at Americans for Prosperity and occasional counsel at the Cause of Action Institute. Ryan Mulvey, happy to be on the show. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, thank you. So, on this Constitution Day, there's also another anniversary to mark, and that is also the Chevron deference decision from last year, where some power was taken away from bureaucrats, and, you know, actually I know a raging leftist who ended up being kind of happy with the Chevron deference, because at first he wasn't, but then he found out it was actually helpful with something he was stuck up in, so everybody
benefited from
that.
Isn't it fun how that works?
Yeah. So tell our listeners a little bit more about the Chevron deference and kind of the background of it, too, because, you know, it just came out of these fishermen who are pursuing this case and, you know, kind of the last thing that you would pick on your bingo card of what would overturn it.
Yeah. So I think to understand the doctrine that got overturned last year, you know, understanding the facts of the Loper Bright case involving these fishermen is itself a great introduction. So we at Cause of Action Institute, through my position there, we represent some fishermen from Cape May, New Jersey, the town at the very southern tip of the state of New Jersey, and they're herring fishermen. And for a long time, the federal government has required that they carry agents, you know, in monitors, observers on their boats to watch them fish, to make sure that they follow the rules of the fishery, follow all the regulations that the agency has passed. And for the longest time, the government paid for those monitors to be on the boat. When the agency ran out of money, however, instead of going to Congress to ask for more, it passed a regulation that said the fishermen had to pay the salaries of these government representatives to ride on their boats and to watch them fish. And the government did that even knowing that it was going to impose tremendous costs on the fishermen to the point of reducing revenue by 20% across. So we sued on behalf of the fishermen, arguing that the statute here, the Magnuson-Stevens Act, doesn't give the agency any authority to do what it did. And in fact, when it talks about charging industry for these sorts of costs, it's very specific about allowing it. It lists where they can do it. But the government argued and the courts ruled that the agency had this authority, and they were only able to reach that conclusion because of a doctrine that the Supreme Court came up with in the 80s called Chevron deference. And that deference doctrine basically says, or used to say, since it's gone now, thankfully,
yeah,
that if federal law is ambiguous or even silent about a matter, then instead of the court giving the best meaning of the law, what it needed to do was defer to the agency and basically preference the agency's own interpretation of its authority. And so long as the agency's interpretation was reasonable, they win. And so here, the court said, D.C. Circuit said, well, you know, there's authority to put the monitor on the boat, and they may have always paid for it, but there's nothing in the law that expressly says they can't do this. And we're going to consider that an ambiguity. And because the agency says it's really important to have these monitors for conservation purposes, we're going to say that they have the authority basically to pass on costs. It's like a tax almost, basically, to have this power. Well, that, of course, is very offensive to limited government principles. And we took it up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court got rid of Chevron deference. And they said it's inconsistent with the Administrative Procedure Act, but also inconsistent, really, with constitutional principles that the founders and the framers, when they wrote the Constitution, envisioned courts telling us what the law means. and the president and the agencies basically just implementing the law, and that there's something really amiss when agencies can write regulations without authority from Congress and then get away with interpreting the legality of those regulations. So this Constitution Day marked the first year without Chevron, the end of the first year without Chevron deference. And I think there's a lot to celebrate in the court's efforts with Loper Bright to really restore the separation of powers and to give courts their proper roles back like the founders envisioned.
Mm-hmm. And we hadn't seen the doom and gloom that was predicted for overturning the Chevron deference either, whatever that might have been.
Yeah, I mean, that was basically so the court split 6-3 with, predictably, I think your listeners can guess who was on which side. And the three progressive justices who wanted to keep Chevron deference, I mean, their big two arguments weren't really legal. They were policy. They were, well, what's going to happen if this opens the floodgates to litigation? And what happens to, you know, the sky is going to fall if we don't allow agencies to interpret their own authority. And you're absolutely right that it's been just over a year and the sky hasn't fallen. And agencies instead are being more careful about their regulations. In fact, under this administration, they're using Loper Bright and this end of Chevron deference as a reason to go back through the thousands and thousands of pages of federal regulation to see what needs to be gotten rid of because it's not defensible legally anymore. We just see courts doing their job now, too. And like you said, everything is working better than it used to and closer in line with what the Constitution anticipates.
Yeah, to what the progressive justices were saying, though, since when is risk of litigation for stopping the government from doing something illegal grounds for continuing to do something that's illegal?
Isn't that right? I mean, there's, really, when I was in the court listening to the argument at the Supreme Court, it really struck me the difference in philosophy undergirding folks on the right and folks on the left on the court, if we can, assign them to sides. And for those who dissented and wanted to keep Chevron deference, there really is a belief that the power of the government comes from itself, right? That government itself is sovereign and not the people. And there's this presumption against liberty. Instead of agencies having to bear the burden of identifying the source of their power, people, the citizenry, has to find grounds for challenging it. And that kind of gets things backwards. Like in this case, there was nothing in the statute that gave the fishery service authority to force the fishermen to pay for these government monitors on their boats. Why should it be the fishermen who bear the burden of demonstrating the illegality of that regulation? Government should only do what it has authority to do and what Congress has given to an agency and what the people have given to Congress. And progressives sometimes don't want to respect that order of operations, and it's not good.
Mm. Now, when the government can do beyond what's written in the law and then interpret whether or not what they did is correct, I would say that definitely is not good. What's your final thought on here, and where can we find out more about Americans for Prosperity?
So if you can go to AFPFoundation.org and Loper Bright Case. Network to learn more about the case and our organization and everything we're doing to fight for the Constitution.
All right, Ryan Mulvey, appreciate you being on the Silk or Joe Show. Listeners, we've got more programming coming up after this break.
Thanks.
Research shows a continued decline in childhood vaccines over the past several school years. That and the resurgence of measles across the U.S. has put public health officials and family physicians on high alert. Medical professionals say it's understandable to have questions about vaccines, and if you do, ask. Dr. Diana Howard with the American Academy of Family Physicians.
Timely vaccinations are essential to protect families, neighbors, and loved ones, especially as the school year begins. Your family physician is a trusted place to get the answers and support you need when it comes to vaccines. The American Academy of Family Physicians wants you to know, vaccines work. They are safe, effective, and save lives. Family physicians can help you make sure the whole family is up to date on their vaccinations and protected from preventable diseases, especially before school starts. And it's understandable to have questions. Your doctor wants you to be an advocate for yourself and your loved ones. So take those questions to your next appointment.
For more information, visit familydoctor.org.
It's the time of year when young adults are off to college or starting their first career. One important aspect of moving into adulthood is making the transition from pediatric to adult health care. Lucille Aceta from CVS Health shares more.
The right time to transition out of pediatric care can sneak up on parents. So have conversations early with your teenagers to help them prepare, especially if they live with a chronic illness. Start by teaching them how to refill a prescription and that their local pharmacist is a valuable resource. For more complex conditions, CVS specialty teams can help them as they move into adult care.
Madison Miller lives with a chronic illness and managed her move to adult care at 19.
Change can be uncomfortable at first, but now I realize how important learning to own my healthcare has been to my personal growth. With the help of CVS Specialty, prescription reminders, ordering through the app, and mail delivery have made managing my chronic condition easier.
For more helpful tips and information, visit CVSHealth.com.
Hi, it's Practical Polly's radio show. If you're just figuring out that healthier cooking oils are better than solid fats, you may be asking, now what am I going to do with all these tubs of lard? Ever had one of those moments when your favorite skinny jeans feel too tightly tailored? Generously apply lard to your hips and thighs and those fancy pants will slide on like a dream. Or here's a family-friendly idea. How about making your yard into a lard fun park? Frost your driveway with a nice thick coating and give those kiddos a downhill thrill no matter what time of year. Having a bad hair day? Yep. A little lump of lard can tame your flyaways in a jiffy. So there's no need for that lard to go to waste or to your waste. But get your best heart-healthy trade-up with healthier oils like canola, olive, or other vegetable oils, which can actually lower your chances for heart disease. Now that's a tip worth keeping for life. Learn more at heart.org/facethefats. Canola Info is the national supporter of the American Heart Association's Face the Fats campaign.
Steven.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon? Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
No word in the English language is less convincing than probably.
Are you sure we should get matching tattoos on our first date?
Sure. We'll probably stay together.
Probably? It's been 23 minutes since I ate. I can probably swim.
You should wait 30 minutes.
Okay, now tell me what to do. Cannonball! Cramp! Oh, I have a cramp.
I can probably hit the green from here.
Probably.
Can I get a mulligan?
Ready to go?
Hey, are you sure you're okay to drive?
Yeah, I'm pretty sober. Yeah, I'm probably okay.
Probably okay isn't okay, especially when it comes to drinking and driving. If you're drinking, call a cab, a car, or a friend. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show, everybody. Co-host Joe with you all here today. Again, continuing our constitutionally based conversation about free speech versus consequence. As I explained in the opening segment, I even had played a clip of a leftist out there saying that censorship is okay, putting people off your platforms, deplatforming, that's perfectly acceptable. That's not violating the First Amendment. Well, you know, depending on the size of the platform, maybe. But getting the government to do it for you in violation of the First Amendment, no, that's a bad thing. And that's what the Democrats were doing under Biden. And now we're coming up to Jimmy Kimmel's firing, where it looks kind of like that's what the Trump administration is doing. But it's not exactly the case, because of the licensing agreement that ABC News signed in order to get its SEC license. I guess the license for the scale that they're at has this public interest clause or whatever, and you know, it's not like you're out there saying, well, I think the election was stolen or something like that. Rather, it's you're out, you know, something where the claims are kind of unverifiable. Like, you can have someone on to say, well, the government said X, Y, and Z about it, but the government has as much evidence as you do, pretty much, for whether or not it happened. And then you can point to, well, here's video of people yanking ballots out from under the table when this election office was supposed to have been closed to the public and not be counting votes. Here's video of them counting votes that were kept under a table out of view of the election poll watcher guys. So, you know, that's a little bit different from what's going on with Jimmy Kimmel, where he just outright said there was no official source, there's no evidence that the assassin was anything but a left winger. But here's Kimmel out there saying that he was a right winger and then mocking Trump supporters for mourning the assassination of Charlie Kirk. So that's a bit more cut and dry than some of the stuff that Democrats were trying to censor Republicans over. In fact, the government was pressuring companies to censor anyone who was questioning the effectiveness of the vaccine. Now, we're at the point now where in Canada, people who were injured by the vaccine are being given prescribed euthanasia. So that's where we're at right now. And yet we were told that the vaccine had no side effects, and censoring people for spreading information like that was the right thing to do, spreading misinformation about how, if you know, such things as if you get the vaccine, you can still get COVID. Duh, that's happening. Biden had COVID how many times after getting the vaccine? And plenty of government officials and media personalities got COVID after getting the vaccine. Yet you were censored on social media for telling the truth. So I guess that's the fine line between firing Kimmel for violating SEC guidelines and spreading clear lies versus questioning the official narrative about an election that evidence is questionable. And there are plenty of sources to the contrary that are legitimate, or spreading information about the COVID vaccine, which, I mean, that's common sense stuff right there. The vaccine is not perfect. When has there ever been a perfect medical treatment? But it is a fine line, though, that's being walked here, and that's why I'm not entirely comfortable with ABC, with what happened with Jimmy Kimmel. The FCC threatened to go after him for that. Yes, he did lie on the air, but, I mean, come on. How many times have late-night comedy folks lied on the air before about it stuff? What stepped over the line was just how poor taste this lie was, though, I guess, because you're lying about an assassin and you're mocking the people who are mourning the assassination victim, which is not something ABC would want on its comedy show anyway. Now, whether or not that goes up to FCC violation, I don't know. If it does, then technically speaking, because, you know, they're trying to say, well, he clearly lied about this, but can we go back to the Russiagate stuff? I mean, can we go back to the safe effectiveness of the vaccine stuff and talk about how they lied and deprived them of licenses then as well? You know, like, what put this on a level above previous lies told by the late night comedy group? Now, as far as the FCC getting involved, as far as ABC getting involved and firing the guy, that's, you know, more internal, because, like I said in the opening segment, the guy's not very popular, possibly losing the network money, certainly a bigger headache than he's worth to the company, especially after the affiliates decided, you know, what he did just was a step too far. You know, it's like tap dancing after 9/11, just about, as far as the gravity of the situation goes and how he was interpreting it. So it was in very poor taste, and that was enough for the affiliates to drop it, because it's in poor taste and he's lying anyway about it. And then now you have ABC deciding, well, you know, the affiliates dropped him, And he's not apologizing for it either. He's not willing to say, I was wrong, I got it wrong. Or at least go on the air and say, here are the facts that I have that justify it. You know, like we do on this show. Here's why I said X, Y, and Z. Here's the source, A, B, C. There you go. That's why I think this. No, he didn't do any of that. He just went on the air, said his thing, and then refused to say anything more. And then the affiliates started dropping his show. So ABC was like, well, we got to drop him now because he's already been a ratings loser. Now the affiliates don't even want him. So he's gone. Now that's not entire. Now that's all independent of the FCC coming in. The FCC might have just been the final nail in the coffin with the possible threat of taking action because of what he did. But it seems the affiliates were already taking action against him, and that might have been done more than the FCC violation. And that's what Democrats are kind of leaving out there. You know, when they come out, oh, it's Nazism or whatever to fire Jimmy Kimmel. What they're leaving out is that the affiliates were dropping him already. So this, you know, the FCC is just kind of the excuse, I guess, for the parent company to kind of save face and say and pivot it to being about Trump, because actually the ABC News might have had some other stuff to be looking at too, because one of the reporters actually tried to play the sympathy card for the murderer, saying the text that the assassin was sending to his trans lover where he admitted the assassination were beautiful acts of love. What the hell? That's that nothing beautiful about confessing to an assassination. What's next? We're going to be looking at the last words between Eva Braun and Adolf Hitler? Come on. So that's something ABC News should be looked at perhaps by the FCC, because that is a journalist out there saying this, trying to gin up sympathy for a murderer. Why would you do that unless you had sympathies with the murderer? MSNBC was kind enough to fire their person, Matthew Dowd, who was in it. And now the left, again, they're crying Nazi over all these firings, but this is exactly what they were doing 5 years ago. This is the kind of environment that they wanted. Now it's being turned on them, except slightly more legitimately. And yes, again, free speech questions about it abound, but the fact of the matter from the left's perspective, where they don't believe in free speech at all, is this is what you wanted, now it's being used on you, now you're saying it's Nazism, even though you were literally advocating it just a couple of years ago when you were in power. So what's the deal here? Actually, one of the there is some news that came out earlier this week about how Biden's censor czar or whatever, Nina Jankowicz, Biden's, quote, disinformation czar, Fox News defeated her in court because there was this plan to create a, quote, disinformation governance board. You might remember that. And she lost an appeal of a ruling that sent her, she had a defamation lawsuit against Fox News over this, I guess, and then over her coverage of the disinformation group. And it turns out their coverage was right. So now her lawsuit has gone into the toilet because their coverage about her being a disinformation censorship person was correct. Gee whiz, that you think? So that, again, that's what the left has been up to, and it's rather coincidental that that lawsuit is coming to an end this week, you know, further highlighting any Democrat complaining about censorship. Hey, this is what you were doing 3 years ago, and now you took this Fox News to court for trying to mischaracterize it, but the courts rejected it because Fox News characterized it as being correct. You were all for censorship and all that, and the government creating a censorship bureau. Well, their coverage was accurate, and you lost this defamation case. And now here you are complaining that conservatives have seemingly a censorship disinformation bureau. They don't. In fact, as I said in the opening segment, when Attorney General Pam Bondi was talking about doing the hate speech thing, the right backlashed against her as much as the left. So it's not, it is sort of two separate things so far. Although, again, the Jimmy Kimmel thing, the FCC getting involved, that is questionable whether that should have happened or not, whether the FCC should have commented or had a role in that. Maybe there is a strict interpretation of the guidelines behind ABC News and behind ABC's comedy shows that allow for that to happen. But still, you know, it's uncomfortable to me that the FCC got involved with that. Yes, he did go out and lie. Yes, it was very bad taste, but it's his show, you know? And it's not a news show. He's not a journalist. So why isn't he free to lie about it as much as he wants to on his show? Is the FCC going to go after him when he gives a softball interview to a guest who turns out to be total crap and lying his butt off? Anyway, so that is a concern. But as far as ABC firing him, that's probably the right decision from ABC's perspective, because ABC's affiliates didn't want him either. And ABC was going to lose a ton of money if they didn't fire him. So that decision, that part, is perfectly fine. And the Blue Skyers are sky high in their delusions about that. More Silk Radio after this break.
Burgers and hot dogs may headline the grill, but baked beans are making a strong showing at summer cookouts. Chef James Brissione has more.
Baked beans are incredibly versatile. I use them in hamburger bakes, layer them into hot dogs with cheese, and even stuff them into grilled chili rellenos. They bring big flavor with little effort.
Chef's Chili Relleno recipe starts with poblano peppers stuffed with Bush's vegetarian baked beans, onions, jalapenos, and red bell pepper. For something heartier, hamburger baked beans combine seasoned ground beef with Bush's original baked beans.
That Chili Relleno dish is one of my favorites. It's easy to prep, great for vegetarian or gluten-free guests, and the beans add that smoky, savory bite that works with anything else on the plate.
Another go-to for feeding a crowd is baked bean and cheese hot dogs, made with Bush's brown sugar hickory baked beans, onions, and cheddar. Bush's baked beans varieties include original, brown sugar hickory, vegetarian, zero sugar added, and more. Visit bushbeans.com.
Respiratory syncytial virus, or RSV, is known for affecting infants and young children. But the reality is that adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, are at increased risk for severe infection. Dr. Candace Robinson from GSK has more.
Because the immune system weakens with age, the risk of severe RSV increases for older adults. If you have certain chronic conditions such as heart disease, COPD, complicated diabetes, or asthma, you're at an increased risk of becoming severely ill from RSV. And RSV can also cause exacerbations of certain medical conditions.
Approximately 177,000 adults 65 and older are hospitalized due to RSV annually.
The CDC recommends a single RSV vaccine dose for adults between 50 and 74 years of age with certain risk factors, or 75 or older, to help protect against RSV.
For more information on RSV, talk to your local pharmacist and visit easyvax.com for more information about how to find vaccines available near you.
Some seizures may go unnoticed, but the stories of people with epilepsy will not. Share your story to educate others.
To empower others to seek treatment.
To show others they are not alone.
To help others change their journey.
Let's get everyone to start talking about epilepsy and seizures.
I am ready to share my story.
I'm ready to share my story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
Let's change our epilepsy story.
For more information, visit changeourstory.org.
There's nothing worse than losing cell service while exploring the great outdoors, but that's changing fast. T-Mobile is bringing coverage to the most remote parts of the country with T-Satellite with Starlink, reaching over 500,000 square miles where towers can't, thanks to over 650 satellites already in orbit. Over a million messages have already been sent in hard-to-reach areas, from national parks to remote trails. King of Phillips, travel expert.
As someone who's constantly off the beaten path, this changes everything. Now I can stay connected, even deep in the mountains or deserts.
For more information, visit T-Mobile.com, sponsored by T-Mobile.
My name is Judy Teeter, and I'm the mother of three boys. My youngest, Joe, was a great kid. He loved sports, music, and his youth group. One day, Joe asked me to drive him to an after-school event, which was about a mile from our home. I was driving through a green light when a car in cross traffic ran a red light and drove right into the side of our car, killing Joe. The driver was talking on her phone, so she never even saw the red light. She was so absorbed in her phone call. Before the crash, I didn't realize just talking on a cell phone while driving was so dangerous. Now it's something I think about every day. According to the National Safety Council, about 1 in 4 car crashes involves a cell phone. Hands-free is no safer. When you're behind the wheel, put away your phone, for Joe and for the thousands of needless deaths every year. Remember, there is no safe way to talk on a cell phone while driving. Find out more at nsc.org/callskill.
I'm Ben Affleck, and I want to thank you for joining me and supporting Paralyzed Veterans of America. Our vets need you.
I'm a quadriplegic. I'm definitely at risk with my diminished lung capacity.
I have MS. I'm in a wheelchair and I can't leave the house because I have a compromised immune system.
I'm very concerned about, would there be a bed for me? Would there be a ventilator for me?
would I be able to survive something?
It's just heavy. You know, it's a heavy moment.
This is a war. This really is.
Our veterans fought for us. Let's fight for them.
I am so grateful for the PVA. They're making sure that we have all of the food and supplies that we need right now.
We all gotta help each other right now. We can't get through this by ourselves.
It's with profound gratitude that you're gonna be saving our lives. To find out how you can help, please go to helppva.org. That's helppva.org.
Welcome back to the Silver Joe Show. My co-host Joe with you all here this week, and thank you for sticking with us through this hour of the program. And we are joined for this last segment by Dr. Gilda Carl. She was the host of Fox's Dr. Gilda TV show pilot, MTV's Love Doc, and TV shows on Trinity Broadcasting Network. She wrote the 30-second therapist column for the Today Show, the Ask Dr. Gilda column in the National Enquirer for Match.com, and she was the therapist in HBO's Emmy Award winner Telling Nicholas, with her latest book being Real Men Don't Go Woke, which is kind of counterbalance to what we're about to talk about. Dr. Carl, appreciate you being on the show. How are you today?
Oh, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. So I guess with real men who not going woke, that leaves us with feminists leading the Marxist movement. What's your take on this?
Oh, well, my take on this is that I don't think we have all the information that we need. First of all, the feminist movement is made up of a lot of very angry and self-serving women who don't like men. And as a matter of fact, I just wrote another piece that was just published that mean girls are what I call them rather than feminists, because a lot of people don't even know what that term means anymore. And mean girls are not being differentiated by men between them and real women who love men, care for them, support them, raise little men, and are loving. But the feminists left is very angry towards men, and they want to see harm come to them. And I can't imagine that happening against any one group of people. So that's where we stand. And when I wrote Real Men Don't Go Woke, I deliberately talked about how what's happened is that men don't want to be bothered anymore. They stay silent. And, you know, when you stay silent with whatever is going on in your life and you don't have an outlet for it, it always ends up in some kind of disaster. Either you act anger out and you get into trouble, like P. Diddy. Now, that when you talk about toxic men, okay, P. Diddy and Weinstein and people along those lines. But not every man is toxic, and there's nothing toxic about masculinity. But the Marxist ideology is that all men are toxic. So this is something that we have got to fight against, because when things are held in, where do you go if you keep internalizing that? And that's to suicide. And men are four times more likely to commit suicide. We see what's happening in the workplace, that men are the ones, 90% of men in workplace accidents and deaths are men. And the thinning of the Y chromosome, the depleting of the testosterone in men that we're seeing, they're lonely, they're depressed, and they need to have an outlet that is a healthy outlet to express themselves. So that's where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen people, you know, online, they try to create such outlets or spaces for that to happen. And, you know, the feminist left comes in and just bombards them and trashes the place, saying, well, how dare you? Men don't need that. Men are the toxic ones, the abusers or whatever. And then play up the sympathy card for themselves after they just bullied a bunch of people who were vulnerable.
That is true, and they are vulnerable. Men are saying that they don't want to open their mouth. They don't want to get into trouble. They don't want to be canceled. They don't want to lose their job. They don't want to be controlled, and they don't want to be castrated. So some men are opening their eyes, and I'm hoping that more men open their eyes to what is going on. But we must differentiate between the mean girls and the real women who love men and support men. And all women are not to be caged into one category that is so negative.
Yeah, I mean, that seems to be the goal of this radical group, though, to try and to make everyone think they're speaking on behalf of all women, which then herds all women to them because, you know, the men are avoiding them now.
Exactly. Men are saying they want nothing to do with women. Now, I'm not saying all men. And, you know, nature takes its course. And men want to be loved. Women want to be loved. I mean, love is the ingredient to make our world go round. And when they are not successful, they drop out in many, many different ways, one of which is the furry movement that we've seen in the news lately, one of which is turning to homosexuality, one of which is turning to transsexual. All of the things that we're seeing is an attempt to run from intimacy, real intimacy with women. They are afraid. They just don't know the skills in how to communicate positively anymore because they've had this drummed into their heads. And, you know, this is not just rhetoric. I did a book signing here in Scottsdale, Arizona, for Real Men Don't Go Woke. The place was packed. And I talked about how the rate of suicide is being lowered into young boys. And boys as young as 10 years old are committing suicide. And then everybody, the books were sold out. Everybody went home feeling as though they had learned so much that they had not known before. And then the next day, I received a phone call from one of the women who was attending. And she was in tears. Her best friend's young boy, 13 years old, had taken his life while she was here hearing about this. It was so unbelievably eerie, and it brought home what I was saying. We have got to change the rhetoric.
Absolutely, and we have a lot of cultural inertia here because, yes, women were oppressed years ago. That is true.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, the talk now is that, oh, if we don't let up on men, then the oppression will just snap back into place.
Oh, please. You know what? That is like the whole black community saying, we hate whitey forever and ever and ever because of slavery. Frankly, we were not alive during those times. My family didn't have slaves. I look at that as part of our history and my stomach turns. I think it's disgusting. But I have nothing to do with that. And I have a lot of black friends. And we don't talk about those things. So now, are we supposed to be paying for the past horrors that went on in our history? I think it's time to grow up and get over it.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Gilda-Carl, appreciate you being on the show to talk about this. Got about 20 seconds left. Where can our listeners find a copy of your book, Real Men Don't Go Woke?
Oh, Amazon at any time. And of course, go to my website, drgilda.com, drgilda.com.
All right, listeners, you can go check that. I want to thank Dr. Gilda-Carl for being on the show, and we are done with you all for the day. Our website, of course, is mainstreetradionetwork.com, something worth checking out while you're up there looking for a copy of Dr. Carl's book. Be seeing you.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.